A gracious and loving God, we do pray that there would be an outpouring of your Holy Spirit upon us gathered here, that you would open our ears, minds, and hearts to receive the whisper of your voice and the message that you have prepared today. May the meditation of our hearts and the words of my lips be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Coming from the Gospel of John, chapter 17, starting at verse 1. After Jesus had spoken these words, he looked up to the heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that the Son may glorify you, since you have given him authority over all people to give eternal life to all whom you have given him, and this eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I glorified you on earth by finishing the work that you have gave me to do. So now, Father, glorify me in your own presence with the glory that I had in the presence before the world existed. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words that you have gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine. And I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one, and as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me, and I guarded them. And not one of them was lost, except the one that was destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have joy, have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them or set them apart in truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself or set apart myself so that they may also be sanctified or set apart in truth. I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of all of those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be all one, as you, Father, and are in me, and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you've given me, I have given them, so that they may be as one, as we are one, I in them, and you in me, that they may become completely one, so that the world may know that you have sent me and have loved them even as you have loved me. Father, I desire those also whom you have given me may be with me here where I am to see my glory which you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. Righteous Father, the world does not know you, but I know you, and these know you have sent me. I made your name known to them, and I will make it known so that the love with which you have loved me may be in them and I in them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks indeed be to God. Amen. I wanted to talk about how important this prayer is. Jesus is praying for his disciples. Jesus is praying for you. It's a prayer that was, that is, and always will be. Do you realize how prayer changes stuff? How prayer changes lives? How prayer can bring people to Christ and into the ministry. I think of my wife as a prayer warrior. She prayed for my salvation for 14 years. 14 years of marriage without me knowing the love of Christ, and she was praying every day. That goes to show you how strong she is and how stubborn I am. I'm just saying. But prayer changes stuff. Prayer transforms lives. Remember the first church I served, having to visit the matriarch of that church in the hospital. So I left Central Ohio and drove all the way up to the Cleveland Clinic and visited her. She was on her deathbed, and it was my first appointment, so I was what they say, green behind the ears, or ears, I don't know. So anyway, I prayed this prayer, offering her hope and peace and comfort and healing, and I said amen. And I went to pull away, and she grabbed my hand harder, and she said, "Thank you. Can I pray for you? Can I pray for your ministries? Can I pray that you will have a profound impact on God's kingdom?" I was shaking in my boots. It was a beautiful, powerful prayer. And then when she was done, and I had tears in my eyes, she said, "Pastor, I have one more thing. Can you sing for me?" And I says, "I don't sing. I can't sing." And she says, "Oh, yes, you can. And oh, yes, you will. You know where I'm going." And I said, "Yes, ma'am." "But I don't have a hymnal with me." And she, from under the covers, created one. I'm like, "You got to be kidding me." And there I was in the Cleveland Clinic. And I got to tell you, it was not a private room. It was a room that was on one of those floors where there's probably 20 beds in there on both sides. And the only thing that's between each patient is a curtain. And she says, "Sing, Pastor." So I began to sing in the garden. And halfway through the first verse or stanza or whatever, I'm not musically inclined. I told you I don't sing. She squeezed my hand and she goes, "Louder, Pastor. You know where I'm going." And so I did. Loud enough for her to hear, the patients on each side of us to hear, the nurses stationed to hear, and the doctors to hear. And then I would later find out that it was her request that I sing that same beautiful hymn at her funeral in front of 250 close friends and family. And I'm thinking, "Oh, dear Lord." Luckily, there was a partition to where nobody could see me singing, but they had me sing it. And in that moment, I could feel the power of prayer. It was as if she was right there next to me, praying for me in that moment. And then 2 weeks later, I received a card from her with a prayer in it and a thank you. She was an amazing, amazing woman and saint. Jesus, in this gospel story, takes time to not only pray for his disciples, but pray for you. To pray for the ones who will come to believe because the testimonies spoken of him. Can you imagine right now, visualize in your head, Jesus on his knees for you, praying a prayer that was and is and will always be. And in that prayer, I want to pull out three different things that are important to what Jesus is praying about and for who he is praying for. Number one, that you would be sent into the world. Jesus prays that you wouldn't be taken out of this world, but that you would be sent into the world. He never prayed that we would not feel discomfort or pain or anxiety or pressure. He himself lived it, born into a manger, a dirty manger, born into fleeing on the run from the likes of King Herod, a madman who wanted to kill all firstborn just to prevent him from filling out his mission. The pain and frustration and humiliation that he would take upon the road to the cross, the beatings, the insults, the pain of this world he experienced. He does not call us to be comfortable. He doesn't call us to avoid that. He calls us to be, as a great theologian spoke, Jesus, to be the light of the world, to be the salt of the earth, to be the very thing that brings flavor and hope to the world. This is the number one thing that Jesus is praying for us, that we would be his beacons of hope and light to a dark and ungodly world. Second, Jesus prays that we would know and be grounded in the truth. To know and be grounded in the truth. What is the truth? What is not the truth? The author of our book talks about the false teachings that have been spoken into our lives. He calls it family of origin stuff, right? I'm going to give you three examples of what those false teachings might sound like. Maybe you've heard them before or you can relate. How about this? How about this first one? Stop your crying or I'll give you something to cry about. You ever heard that? What is that actually saying? Don't show weakness. Don't show emotions. I don't have time for it. I caught myself in mid-sentence getting ready to say that very thing to my son. And I stopped myself dead in my tracks. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I turned into you fill in the blank. What I needed to do was I needed to understand and ask, what is bothering you? Because that is speaking truth into his life, acknowledging the emotion that he has in the moment. Or how about this? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. You ever heard that one? How many of you believe that is true? How many of you have been hurt by a word or a phrase or a lie? You're not good enough. You're never going to make it. Last week I talked about being a safe place where we can become encouragers of each other and of the faith. We need to embrace the truth and speak the truth in love to each other. Just because you come up to somebody and say, you know, I don't like this or I don't like that about you, doesn't mean it's right. Doesn't mean that you have the right to do that. The defense might be saying, well, I'm just speaking the truth and not love. Well, no, you're being critical and hurtful. I have a couple other choice words, but we'll move on. How about this? He who dies with the most toys wins. Have you ever heard that one? Really? You can't take it with you. I'm just here to say that just speaks of greed. It's not about accumulating things that rot, or can be stolen. It's about giving it away. It's about expanding our love territory. And how can we possibly do that if we're hoarding stuff? I'm just saying. The next thing I'd pull out of the text is, well, before I go on, let me talk about the truth. The truth is that we're all called to wonder at the beauty of creation, that everything has its season, and one day we will all die. But in the meantime, we're only called to be faithful with what we have been given and to use it for His glory. We're to use it to spread the truth and His love. In other words, the two greatest days that you've ever have in your life, number one, the day you're born, and number two, the day you figure out what you're born to do for His glory. Amen? Number three, I'm close to being on time too, that His Father would make us one. Jesus prays that the Father would make us one. This is the prayer that was and is and always will be. It's probably the toughest part of this whole prayer. It's the part that any church over two people find it difficult to live out. Make us one, Lord. Help us to get over our differences and become in union with each other and with You. Make us one, Father. Jesus says, make them one, Father, that the world would know us and would know Him by our love for one another. That's a challenging prayer, is it not? Take the time to know one another. It's really why we want so desperately everybody to be in a small group. Whether it's a Bible study or a home group or a class, some way to engage in community life, to know each other and to know God. That's how we're going to love each other. That's how we're going to become one. There was a documentary years ago that interviewed two men in their 90s. They had survived the landing at Normandy. And in the interview, the interviewer asked them the question, what gave you the strength to get off the boat and onto the beach? What gave you the strength? And in a real honest moment, they both acknowledged, it wasn't for love of God and country. It wasn't for the love of apple pie and baseball. It wasn't even for the love of their family at home. It was for the love of their brother that was standing to the right and to the left, because they knew that their lives depended on the man on the right and a man on the left, and the man on the right and on the left, their lives depended on Him. That was the thing that gave them the strength and courage to get off the boat and onto the beach. Father, make them love one another. Make them one with each other. They will know us by our love for one another. The world will know us by our love for one another. No wonder Jesus is still on His knees in prayer. We are to be set aside in truth. We are to be set aside in service to the world. We are to be set aside to love one another. That's what sanctify means, to be set aside. Let me close with this story as shared by a dear friend and colleague. At the end of World War II, there was a refugee camp made or assembled for orphans. Orphans that had lost their parents from the European bombings. And what they were discovering in this refugee camp is that the children were having difficulty falling asleep at night, or sleeping at all, for that matter. And so there was an adult that came up with a brilliant idea. The adult took loaves of bread for each child and wrapped it in a blanket and gave each child a wrapped loaf of bread. And the instructions behind it was something to this effect. This bread is for you to bring comfort and healing and wholeness. If you get hungry in the middle of the night, nibble at it, knowing that you have always something to eat. But more importantly, when you wake up in the morning, know that somewhere, someone is watching over you, is praying for you, is caring about you, that you will have this bread to eat for the day, that you will have the love and prayer of another each day, that this becomes more than just bread. It becomes holding on to bread. Think of the irony now as we are about to take communion together. Maybe as we take communion together, we become the holding on to bread, not only for each other, but for the world. Taking in the broken body of Christ and the poured out love, not to be hoarded, but to be given away. I wonder, can we be set apart together? Can we be made one together through the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the cup? Would you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, what a powerful prayer that you offer. Help us to become the people that you are praying us into be. In the beautiful name of Jesus, amen.